a Kentucky cousin.
Yeah, because I absolutely don't want to steer this in the conversation to me.
Yeah, how'd you start off?
White men being attractive. Like, I don't want that to go there. Like, wait a minute. You guys are debating white men being attractive? No. Just simply
because saying, it starts off Ryan Gosling.
And I'm simply saying parts from the JBP pod, you know, Joe Budden podcast looks like, you know, he look like I expected. Like I said, I expected this lumberjack, thick beard, long flannel, muscular looking nigga. I expected like the white version of Action Hank.
Oh, he's finally on camera now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He shows his face now, and I ain't never seen him. I ain't never cared to Google him, you know what I'm saying? So when I saw his face, I was like, oh, that's what he looks like. But he does like a taller, he does like a tall, like Jack Harlow's taller cousin, though. Real shit.
That's interesting.
You know, but I can't really describe it anything other than charming. He don't look like that weird white boy, like that nigga from Stranger Things that Doja Cat was all in love with.
You don't look like, you don't look like Rory.
Oh, to my I was about to say Billy, not Billy. Guitar motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. When you gonna get your shirt?
Quite soon.
Mm-hmm. Like, that shit dawned on me. We was in South Carolina. No, we wasn't.
Yeah, I saw, like, 3-4 different versions of it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go
ahead. We just kept saying in South Carolina. Just like, oh, there it is. There it is again. There it is again. Hellfire Club.
Got to go ahead and grab one, dog.
Hellfire.
It was Crossfire, but yeah.
Hey, man, that's
still a board game.
I always wanted that game.
Me too.
And I think I played it once in my life, and I was like, bro, this is not how the commercial advertised it at all. This is Sonic Pinball without Sonic.
I never even got to play it.
Sonic Pinball?
No,
Crossfire. I mean, they had great ways to sell toys back then. They sold
better than Downbeat.
They sold the fuck out of toys. I remember the first time I played Battleship. I was shocked. You know what this sucks about the first time I played Battleship? First time I played Battleship, I was an adult. Like, I was grown. Like, I was
Battleship
damn.
Battleship is the shit.
I was in my 30s, first time I played Battleship.
Board game Battleship?
Yes.
Yeah, because it can be applied to anything.
I played this shit at a Thanksgiving hosted by my ex-girlfriend. Nigga, I got the entire family, all the brothers, the dad, the uncles, the aunts. I got everybody off the fucking table first time I played that shit. It's just like, oh, man, Starman Rick. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, you know what? Let me psych you out and let me get you to pin these pings where I want you to put them. Man, that shit worked. I was like, damn. But you know what? A lot of the tactics and stuff that I used from that game, I got from anime. I got them from, like, Code Geass. I got them from Gundam. Yep. I got them from, like, from watching, like, Death Note. Like, all of these psychological animes where you see these guys really psych out their opponents playing chess. I just applied chess concepts to Battleship. And it's like, it's just
that's
like
why military generals play chess.
It's just like, cause chess, my dad used to make me play chess, but chess was one of those things where it's like, I had nobody no one formally taught me to play chess. So I really couldn't figure out how to play it. So every now and then when I get a computer, like everybody pulls out solitaire, or as we used to call it back in the hood, solitary. And I would just play chess. I just play
solitaire.
Solitaire.
No, it's not.
It's French.
It's American today. Solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we all said it, so.
I mean, but I was the same way, though. Like, I didn't, I taught myself how to play chess. I really didn't have a lot of people to play up against up until I got into junior college. And I had a black professor that was a mathematics teacher, but he wasn't a grandmaster. He was a level below a grandmaster, maybe two. But he was really great. And he taught us how to play chess for real. And DeKalb Tech, the school I went to, we played against like Georgia Tech and GSU. Little black kids and them immigrants and them Ethiopians and Somalians, they was whooping up on them Georgia Tech kids. Like that shit was impressive. I always thought chess was a really good game to teach some young kids.
Oh yeah. Shout out to my fifth grade teacher. That's how I got super into it. I was always interested in it as a kid. And I would play it, but I didn't really like learn no strategy or nothing till fifth grade. He would give us this little period in between during class where we could play board games with each other and shit.
Now, you know, I'm
started a little chess club in there.
You know, I'm this big, huge Colt Geass fan. And all the chess puns that were sprinkled throughout that series were lost on me until, like, down the line, I'm watching shit, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, C2. Oh, shit, C2. Like, and a lot of on the board, then a lot of the names are episodes, so moves were actual chess moves, and it's just like, oh, shit. So, because it was rooted in Lelouch really being really well at playing chess. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his hustle. He made money by challenging rich people to a game of chess, putting big money on the game, and winning. You know what I'm saying?
See, they downplayed that aspect of his personality so much that you started to forget it in the series, and then you start to realize it again when he starts super strategizing. Well, as
Zero's helmet looks just like the fucking king in chess.
Right.
Like his whole out was like, dang, you look like,
Black King.
T.I.'s King album, he looks like the, it looks like a chess
piece.
Yeah, at least a bishop, but he's the king. He's the king. He looked like a chess piece. You know what I'm saying? On the T.I. King cover. I caught that first time I saw it.
Remember in that video, he had that big ass chessboard in there with the pieces he had to pick up.
Yeah.
That might have actually been ATL soundtrack.
That sound like a crazy. That sound like the next Squid Game. You're gonna put a bunch of people in chess suits, and you gotta play a game of chess.
Bruh, like Wizard's Chess, where you gotta actually battle each other, bruh. That'll be so fucking dope. Cause they announced season 2, but they did not show no trailer yet.
Oh nah, that shit ain't even in production yet. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think they just started, or they about to start.
Yeah,
later towards the end of the year.
Yeah, because the Acolyte is gonna star the star of Squid Game, so he picking up. Then he just congratulations. We're gonna get to the Emmys later, but he won an Emmy for best
actor. Yes, he did. That did come across my timeline.
I'm gonna read that later when we get to the Emmys, but
shout out on that.
Yeah, man, shout out. It's chess, man. Like,
not before, chuckles.
No, I saw an interesting article this week. People went online to suggest that someone from Disney, a representative for Disney International, said that point blank period, Korea makes better content. No, that, like what she said. What was the quote?
Korean animation is better than Japanese.
No.
Something like that.
You know what? Animation. They were just like they were just saying creative makes like better content overall than Japanese comes when it comes to media. Now
we debated
that online, and this is what I came.
Got some good gaming now. They done stepped up in the gaming world.
If Korea and America, or let's put it like this, if Tokyo and Hollywood had a baby, it would be Seoul. Now, I'm not saying that to be racially controversial. I'm just insinuating that
it is the combination of Western and Eastern in the most commercial form that you can. Yeah, that's
exactly
true.
Exactly. Korea is way more Western influenced, like from their plastic surgery. Think about it. The whole K-pop movement is them bringing 90s R&B back. Everything from the Backstreet Boys to Destiny's Child.
Manufactured the fuck out of it.
They literally just copied, pasted that, put their own cultural spin on it, and it's a big hit. But I also
still black, but it's Korean.
But I also think on the then Korean fried chicken. But also when you add on K-pop is very like mainstream now. It came mainstream for like the past 4 years. It's been fighting for mainstream dominance.
It's on Disney
platform. And with that happening,
yo, Disney Plus, they got that whole little special.
It puts a whole giant sheen over Korean. It makes it more mainstream because you recognize it with the mainstream, with like mainstream content. When it comes to Japanese content,
I mean, just like
When it comes to Japanese content, like think about it. Like their movies are better than, I mean, their anime is better than their movies because they spend about the same amount of budget on each.
Right, because they don't believe in like a Hollywood budget for feature films. They like, no, if you make a movie, it's going to be this amount of money. I mean, it varies, but very slightly. It's like, this director, we respect him. We're going to pay him a little bit more. But it's not like this huge, how we have an American blockbuster type.
Yeah, they might consider it wasteful. Because they make great films that rival Western films with, like, fractions of the budget. Yeah. But the grand scheme,
because of the technology that they have.
But because of the innovation. And
yeah,
see, that's
it's
the
not
thing.
Even the technology, I mean, the innovation within the... No, it's just like they know how to use it.
Imaginative innovation.
They know how to use that same CGI tech we use just in a different way that's like, oh, damn, we wouldn't have never thought to layer it like this.
From the way they write, from the way they approach stories. Mm-hmm. But Korea does the same thing Japanese does, but they're so homogenous. They're really on, we're doing this for Japanese people, by Japanese people. If you enjoy it, then enjoy it.
And you can like it.
Korea is like, we want America to love our content. We want them to show our content. We want to cross over. We want them, they have a greater effort and investment in crossing over into, you know, the white side of the world, more so than, you know, Japanese is like, bro, we good. Like, you know what I'm saying? We can do this shit in-house.
I learned that from talking to a couple of different Indian people. And they were like, because it's this one dude that works at one of the gas stations. He also goes to Fort Valley State. So I see him randomly on campus. And we were talking about the study abroad thing. And I was telling him about China and India and whatnot. And he was like, to be honest with you, you would think that China would be a little more open to darker-skinned people because they got India as a neighbor. He's like, to be honest, Korea, they the most open. Japan is super closed off. And so is China, whether you think it or not, as the way they perceive themselves to the outside world. He's like, you better off going to Australia where all of them mixed over together.
But that's why I like seeing anime with more darker skinned people. There are more black people in anime. But most of the time when you see Revolutionary Girl Utena, you thought old girl was black. No, I thought it was Indian.
Yep.
Like most anime characters you think black, they're Indian. They're not or they're of Hispanic heritage. Brazilian or some nationality.
Portuguese or something.
Portuguese. Yeah. They're not necessarily,
or they might end up being from like Micronesia or Thailand or something.
Yeah.
Then they've got more brown people over there, but even still, that's more Spanish or, you know, Portuguese influence because they were, you know.
So to that debate between Korea and Japan, I was just like, man, Japan is innovative. I love their content. They make dope movies. They make dope. And anime being so niche. The final point to that was anime is such a niche thing that when you look at it or you think about it, you think of these pockets of fandoms and nerds and these small groups of people that get together. It's such an underground, it's an underground phenomenon that just keeps bubbling to the mainstream. Anime won't be mainstream. I don't think it'll ever be American mainstream because it'll be so perverted once we get it. We'll fuck it up. But there are also a lot of
American anime with. But we've done it. But we've done it a couple times.
No, we can make. We can use the aesthetic. We can pay homage to it, and we because we get that all
that was Korean.
That we get it, but anime inspired by a Korean studio. You know, so it's a lot of, and think about it, a lot of Korean studios, like, they're trying to get into the anime world, but a lot of their manhwas that get depicted as anime, they end, it's a pretty much the Korean equivalent like a, to a manga.
Yeah.
It's a web comic book. Koreans make web comic books, they're manhwas. And they're dope. They're really dope. Because unlike mangas, they're digitally. They're done digital instead of drawing. So you get ink. They can just ink, blah, blah, blah. No, manga.
It's just the way that they
It's colored. That's the biggest difference between manhwa and manga. If you take away their cultural relevancy, is aesthetically.
One is colored.
One is colored. Other's black and white.
Oh. Mangas, you'll get like splash pages where it's like in the middle of the comic, it'll have colors. Or on the title page, it'll have color. Mangas is colored throughout like a comic book.
We don't appreciate things without color here in the States. Because think about it. You ain't going to write. If you put a comic, no matter how good that, no matter how good Bleach was or Dragon Ball or any manga you can name, like that was a dope action manga. You put that shit against Secret Wars and nigga going to pick up Secret Wars. Why? Because it's in color. Yep, even if you don't know nothing about Spider-Man, he going to pick up the one in color versus the one in black and white because that's just how we program.
And then, but see, the cover of it will trick you, though. See, that's the thing about a manga. The cover is going to be super cool deep. Yeah, super deep.
I remember y'all saying that.
Mm-hmm. But when they tried, Crunchyroll tried to develop a bunch of manhwas into anime, and they, in order to make it anime enough, they took on Japanese sensibilities that ultimately ruined because they pushed away the Korean elements that were more closely associated with Western ideologies that we can identify with. So when they did that, they kind of lost some of their identity, and some of these shows are not. Most of them are not highly revered. I think people appreciate Tower of God, but for the most point, everybody's waiting on Solo Leveling. That's the
one. That's what I was about to say. That's but everybody one. Loves Solo Leveling, and
but that's the next one getting developed. I want girls
out of high school. Yeah. Out of high school was super good, but there was so much loss from webcomic to
the anime
animation.
That people hated the anime because it wasn't even irrelevant.
Bro, y'all didn't skip panels. Y'all skipped volume.
Yeah, and y'all took and y'all changed characters to make it more anime-like.
Yeah, to make it more anime.
You know, and that was the downside. So I will say, no, Korean doesn't make better content. Squid Games was impressive. I've seen some K-dramas, and people really relate to these K-dramas, but Japan is not to be fucked with or slept on. If they care...
What's the movie that won last year?
Parasites, Korean.
Korean too, right?
Yeah. That
wasn't even last year. That was, 2 years ago?
But they're making such a Western splash because it's intentional.
Yeah.
It's intentional. Japanese, their art is not intentional. Let's make this for white folks and the minorities in America.
We're making our movies for us, and if y'all like it, then check it out.
We just gonna make dope shit, and you just gonna either like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple as that. I feel like with Korea, I think you get more of a Western effort to, like, cross it over because that's more money. It's just more money. It's more appealing. It's more mainstream. And then I walk around Home Depot and I see so many white men with Asian wives. Not that I got anything to do with each other, but I think on the lower level,
that's where that crossover's at. It's like the military was going around the world fighting.
Yeah,
they were like, "Hey, America does have a little bit of something going for them.
Yeah,
we should fuck with them."
Yeah, it's something about that minority amongst people who once denounced and talked bad and. Mm-hmm. You know, shed it in a bad light to where, all right, we're gonna let you back in first. It's a fetishization. That's all it is. It just come down mostly to people having fetishes.
In the bottom line.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
that dollar bill gonna talk all the time, so.
But in the midst of the gunky shit, I think there's some love, there's respect, there's appreciation. I think there's a fondness. I think there is.
Because they do understand that there is.
Beneficial.
Yeah, there is a certain element of, like, creative innovation that does come out of America as well. Yeah. That the other countries that produce consumable entertainment, mm-hmm. they aspire to or wish to be involved in some kind of way.
Because Korea, they make their art for, like, just as any other artist does. You make that shit for yourself and for the populace. You make it for the world, ultimately. So I'm not saying they make stuff specifically for us, but I believe that there is a direct intent and effort to appease Hollywood, bro. It's like, why not? I think it's a good thing. I think that's what gives Korea their edge. But I just feel like if Japan wanted to take the weights off,
They could.
At any moment, if they wanted to take the weights off, you could. But
at least they're actors to us all the time. They're like, that's a sense of good faith. It's like, hey, here you go. You can use our actors whenever you want.
Yeah, because you'll get somebody like RZA. You'll get somebody like Samuel L. Jackson. You'll get somebody who will play with that media and be like, nah, y'all do y'all, I'm going to do me. Mm-hmm. But then you got everybody else in the middle who want to come and step in and say, nah, you know what,
I'm going to go over here and do these projects.
I liked it, but you know what would have been great if we did this, and then they'll do it. And then, you know what? Since we made that change, let's make another change. The Korean stuff we get, if somebody would have pitched Squid Games to us, we'd have fucked it up. It wouldn't have been as good. The only reason it was good...
Oh, hell no, because Americanized version of that shit, they would have tried to make it like a TV show that everybody watched or some shit. And then
it wouldn't have been as graphic.
Yeah, and exactly. They would have cheesed it up. They would have taken that element of childhood games, like, too far.
I think there's one
horror movie.
Directors that could have done
Squid Game.
Squid Games, not the. You also have to keep in mind a grain of salt. I haven't seen Squid Games.
Whoa! You need to watch Squid. We gotta stop it right there.
I haven't. From things that I have seen, I would think two directors that come to my mind that would do an interesting job. Probably not the same, probably not as good, but do an interesting job. The first one would be Martin Scorsese. I think he would do an interesting job with Squid Games, even though I have not seen it. Also, Tarantino.
People gonna always say Quarantino.
But I don't see him doing that because that show is super interpersonal. He don't do like super interpersonal like that. Like, you would have to have somebody who did something like
You gotta see it, because I was gonna ask you what made Squid Games to you. To me, what made Squid Games, quote, Squid Games was when I got to the end of the episode and the element of somebody dying, I didn't even think about. Like, I didn't consider, I didn't anticipate.
Knew that off rip. If they told you to come play these games and money's involved, Niggas gonna die.
It was the shock
value. I knew that.
It was the perfectly executed shock value and the perfectly timed shock value that made it to me. All the other shit, I expect that. You just checking boxes off the list. But you can't check that shit off the list. You can't check off the shock value, like, resonating. Like, you can shoot for shock value, but that shit is like, you know, it can get stale.
Without ruining it for him, I'm going to tell you the things about Squid Games, and I'm going to speak it in as much code as I can. The element of this motherfucker being right here in your face, and they showed it to you several times, many times over, and you don't fucking pick up on it till that episode. The interpersonal connections between the certain main characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, these characters are the most interesting, but if they would have picked, I think it was like 7 or 8 characters that they picked. If they would have picked 7 or 8 other people, it would have been just as interesting because everybody had a reason for being there. The marbles. So, okay, that's...
Yeah.
3. I'm going to give you 5 reasons. The ranking between the shapes.
Okay.
And the whole element that's always going to be ever permeating whenever some fucked up shit is going on where there's a lot of money involved. Rich ass white people doing weird shit is always going to be there.
That was a good 5. I'm being honest.
I mean, I'm going to say that. And that's not even taking nothing away because they just keep on expressing that there are benefactors. So Cassian and why you should care about Andor. Basically, like I said before, he was a human from the planet Fest. That's the base point of it right there. He's human. Not many people, they are humanoid or look human-like, but they are not quoted as being human. And most of his records are not known. Or there's like a legend behind most of his records because nobody knows really what he's done 100%. During the Clone Wars, he joined the Insurrectionist cell backed by the Confederacy of the Independent System.
Confederates?
Yeah, the Confederacy of Independent Systems.
Yeah, I heard Confederate.
Yeah, you know, they fought against the Galactic Republic. So he was, you know, hiding his way throughout the Empire, trying to do shit on both sides. Then he ended up meeting this guy named Luthen Rail. I won't say much else about that. Then he ended up making his way into the Alliance to restore the Republic. That ties into, the Clone Wars. That ties into the Clone Wars with him working with people that are Fulcrum, which is what Ahsoka Tano became, that little symbol on her head. She's not a Jedi anymore. She just keeps balancing the Force. She does what needs to be done.
And it's live action. That's what I like about it. Because they said, because it's sci-fi, man. Once I saw the trailer, and I saw, like, you know, everybody in it, Diego Luna, you know, Adriana Ojoria, I seen all these actors. I was like, wait a minute, man. I've seen these people and stuff. Like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it came out on the 21st. I didn't know we were that far into September because we literally feels like we just went out. Like, the first weekend was the 3rd, 4th, you know what I'm saying? So now it's just like, damn, where did the time go?
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Werewolf by Night comes out pretty soon.
Halloween.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting.
No, Brie Larson, we really don't, but you're here.
That shit was crazy as fuck, though. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. Does anyone want me to do it again?
Don't be so modest.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Variety tried to deflate all your you're so modest. Like, you're not being modest. Like, she knows the climate of how people feel about her.
She does. I'm mad. I'm mad.
A little small tooth before you go on the carpet. A little honesty.
Dog, like, no. Like, okay, so I'm looking at this, and like exactly like you said, she really knows the climate of how people feel about her playing Captain Marvel. And that shit, like, deep down, like, some shit to send you to therapy. Like, people just hating how... People hate you for a story that you didn't write. You just doing your job.
And a character that you're portraying.
You're portraying, and they really, like... Think about it. Her movie got taken away from her. Like, it was supposed to be her solo movie, and then your agent calls and says, hey, your Captain Marvel 2 not happening. But
don't worry. It's gonna be all female.
It's gonna be super inclusive. We're gonna... Right. We have a Pakistani superhero, Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel, she's gonna be in it. We're gonna have Monica Rambeau.
You did watch WandaVision, right? Her? Yeah, she's gonna be in it.
It's gonna be great.
It's powerful women. We're gonna share the screen. We got this brand new script.
She's like Adora Majay in there.
They ain't gonna be in it. But.
And she was like, oh, that's good. So wait a minute. So we're not doing like my second solo movie? Like, oh,
what about my whole thing with Nick Fury? Don't worry about that. We'll cover that.
Well, you know how Marvel is. Things could change at any time.
We'll make it a small episode.
Hell no.
She's getting a movie.
That's not a series.
Because I'm not going to lie to you. I can tell that this shit didn't hit home with her because, don't get me wrong, I think Brie Larson's fucking adorable. I didn't like her aesthetic in Captain Marvel, but honestly, I see her on a red carpet and I fucking blush, bro, because I really think she's attractive. I just got a thing for her.
She's just not Captain Marvel, bro.
I have to confess it. I do have a thing for her. I really think she looked gorgeous in this fucking thing, but I can see the pain in her eyes. The fact that I seen her bulking up for this role, but
she
then when
worked so hard.
But then when I saw her Miss Marvel, she looked so small, and I was like, "Shawty, why you look so thin and small on Miss Marvel? You look so dainty and prissy. Like you don't look.
She had not been working out.
Play that clip again.
Like Shawty looked like. All right, let's go.
Want me to do it again?
That's just a clip from the full interview. Because they talked about the whole thing. At D23, they got to see a trailer for the Marvels. We haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
It was only for attendees.
Oh, why is Conway trending?
Yeah, man. She looks like basically, they wanted her to be Haruka from Sailor Moon. If you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
That's not who she is.
But
that's
not who Captain Marvel is. That's not how Captain Marvel's supposed to look.
Yeah, but God dog, that ain't it.
You know, but people ain't gonna be pleased with casting. Let's stay on Marvel real quick. So, this is my personal belief. On the heels of the Ariel controversy, people wanted to middle finger the sensitive, unmanly men on the internet, the man babies who cried about Ariel. Mm-hmm. As a bit middle finger to them, they brought Keke Palmer to this shit. Because you only bring Keke Palmer to B-Rose because you just want to reverse race cast Rogue, and just make Rogue like... You just doing that the middle finger, bro, because I ain't got nothing against Keke Palmer. Honestly, after I saw the Photoshop photos and people kind of break it down, I was just like...
I mean, she even responded to it, but it's like the matter of the fact, like...
But as opposed to what? Like, who else you got besides her? But I feel like the only reason they brought Keke Palmer in this was on some middle finger to racist people shit.
I don't have anybody, but at the same time, all you have to do is look online. You could easily just type in, you know... Rogue cosplayers, and you'll find a super tall... You might even find an Australian chick who's tall enough, she's buff enough to not be, like, overly buff, to be the version of Rogue that you can think. And it's like, well, I just need you to have that southern voice. Because, yeah, people can say that based on her characteristics and her archetype that Rogue is supposed to be a black chick, but that's just based on she's country. She's a southern belle. She don't have to be black for that.
I'm going to go get an Australian or a British actress.
To be honest, if you found a light-skinned black girl to be Rogue, then I was like, okay. And she was from, like, Alabama, Tennessee somewhere, because she's got this super country accent.
And she sounds damn near like Gambit.
No. Gambit is Cajun.
Cajun.
I know.
No, he's, hey. He's no Cajun is what up, Mona me. She's no sugar. You gonna give me my powers and this kind of thing.
A light skinned nigga and a woman king, bro. That's who need to play Gambit.
Straight up.
It's a light skinned Malik. White passing black guy named Malik and the woman king. That get him to play like I digress. Get him to play Gambit.
Yeah, rather than Shannon Tatum, but, you know.
I got no issue with Keke Palmer, but I'm like, be serious and give me a genuine casting. Don't
well, you know, they said they're going to cast
like, give me, like,
her as Belle in Beauty and the Beast remake, and they're casting.
I already did a Beauty and the Beast remake.
Yeah, just Emma the Watson. Other year with Emma Watson.
They said they're about to do another one.
They're not. They're not. I don't know what you heard just, that.
Nah, no, not. They did and say then it they on
said,
the, on
and
the
then they also that's said just... that they're going to do a Tinkerbell with...
No, I don't believe that, though.
Yeah, yeah. The chicken
I don't brownish. Believe that. That's just internet.
Oh, no, no, no. That Tinkerbell is real. That Tinker... I think
both of Tinkerbell... These, I'm pretty sure both of these things are going to happen. Like, I didn't just see that like on the meme.
They ain't
going to
come out no time soon. And if they are, they are definitely not going to be Disney related.
I'm pretty sure Peter Pan is Disney related.
Peter Pan is, but they about to come out with a new Peter Pan and Wendy movie that they announced at D23. So I highly doubt that's going to come out based with a Disney name on it.
Nah, David Lowry is helming the film. Like, it's in production.
Tinkerbell film.
No, it's a Peter Pan film. But the
Peter Pan and Wendy?
Girl from Grownish. She is playing Tinkerbell.
Playing Tinkerbell.
He is playing Tinkerbell.
And I'm pretty sure that her is about to play Belle.
That's your rogue right there.
In the remake.
That's your rogue right there.
Which movie is it, though? I mean, is it going to be a Tinkerbell movie? Nope, it's Peter Pan and Wendy. That's what I thought. She's not going to be in her own Tinkerbell movie.
No, I didn't think so.
Peter Pan She's and just going to play Tinkerbell.
Yeah. And her is going to play Belle in a Beauty and Beast ABC special.
Oh, one of them ABC. Specials.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, it's not ABC? Disney.
Who's ABC?
Yeah, but it's kind of like a play. That shit gonna be like a play. Like when they did the Modern Family shit with Jamie Foxx.
Or they did the shit with Queen Latifah.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx and all of them. They did like... They
that remade. Way they don't have to put the Disney name on it, so it can be separate.
Yeah, ABC just gonna do a nighttime special. They're gonna probably win an Emmy for that shit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, in this time, it's just like, I don't want you to sell the, I don't want you to use the controversy to sell film on the heels of black men and women's mental health, because they're going to be thrust into the fire to deal with all this racist backlash because everything was so white for so long that now when you get in color, you're too careful in what you choose to flip and make black. It's a little too intentional. Because the thing is, they tell us
that's the picture we saying.
Yeah.
Oh, I say I ain't even,
no. They tell you to like, oh no, we're doing this inclusively. And I'm like, yeah, that's all fine and games, but really people need to be representative. People want to see shit represented in the way they fell in love with it. And a lot of us, it was animated-wise, and they don't get that right a lot of times. They really don't. Spider-Man's the only thing they consistently do motherfucking right. They got Iron Man right once, and they're so scared they got it right once, they wouldn't dare do that shit again. They don't give a fuck about Batman. It was like, nigga, anybody can be Batman. We will find a way to make you like Batman because you like Batman. But a lot of these other characters won't.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of these other
Everybody
characters.
Everybody likes Batman. We just got to figure out which version of Batman you like.
Yeah, Snooki from True Blood playing Rogue wasn't the Rogue I wanted. Because she wasn't, I'm going to take Ms. Marvel's power and be strong Rogue. She was literally, I'm crushing on all these boys. I'm the center of attention, but they're paying Halle Berry more. So we're going to give her more screen time. Thus, my story.
Hugh Jackman is going to protect me. He's going to be my dad-like figure, and that's going to be his breakout role.
His breakout role. Which ultimately takes more focus off this story you brought up in the first movie that has nothing to do with 2 or 3. That shit, Rogue, they brought Rogue into it. The first real fucking character. Then give us the Rogue
from
the 90s.
Then by the end of it, they played that shit off on Kitty Pryde and fucking Phoenix.
Just moved it along. Emma McKay says...
You talking about Margot Robbie?
Emma McKay says she is tired of y'all comparing her to Margot Robbie.
Stop looking like her.
But
can't help it.
Fuck you to the AV Club for finding. Well, shout out
those
to the
two
AV
pictures
Club
don't look like
for them. Finding the one picture. Bro, she look like an old ass nigga. Yeah. Bro, she look like Willem Dafoe's
younger
with a wig on,
bro.
Yeah,
Kristen Dafoe.
Y'all got her looking bad in this picture. Why y'all got Margot Robbie looking good? Why y'all got Emma McKay? Because I've seen the movie. Bro, they compare y'all for a reason.
Because I thought they were the same person. So I was like, oh, that's not fucking Margot Robbie?
Bruh.
And then she was in Sex Education too, wasn't she?
Let me find a better picture of Emma McKay, man. Hold on.
This type Emma McKay versus whatchamacallit. I'm pretty sure it's a side by side thing.
Bruh, you can't tell me Emma McKay, like, she does look like Margot Robbie.
I mean, the only person that looks more like Margot Robbie than her is the chick from,
it's just she does not have
from, Hide and Seek.
Thank you. I thought that was Margot Robbie,
that's
too.
That's Emma McKay.
No, that's not the same chick from Hide
and Seek. No, it's not.
Hide and Seek is Emma McKay.
No, it ain't.
No, it's not Hide and Seek. What was the name of the movie?
She was in...
Ready or Not, whatever it was. The movie when she got married into the family and they had to have the Hide and Seek ceremony at night.
I think the name of that was Hide and Seek. I know she was in Sex Education. I was like,
was
oh.
Hide and Seek?
Oh, what was the other name you had for that movie? Ready or Not?
Yeah, that
might have been it. Ready or Not.
Ready or Not movie.
Nope, that wasn't the name of it, the movie. I can't remember the name.
Because that's not the same girl.
Nah, it is called Ready or Not.
It is called
Ready or Not. Just type in Cass.
I fucked that all up.
Yeah, you did.
Realtor or not.
Realtor. Realtor not cast.
Oh. Hey, man, that IPA kicking in. Ocean, just read the fucking actress that played the lead in it.
Bro, goddamn, shot a goddamn set. Oh, let's see. Del her.
Yeah. Right there. That's her.
All right.
So what's her name?
What her name is. All right. Her name is Samara Weaving.
Yeah, exactly. That is not her.
Nah, with an A. S-A.
She's right there. Don't you even got to type it in. She's right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. She also looks like goddamn Margaret Robbie.
Way more.
Nah.
In that movie.
Shit, yeah, because you said you thought it was Margot Robbie in the movie.
Bro, we're not talking about the whatever picture they put. We're talking about this
you
one right here.
You thought she was Margot Robbie in the movie.
I admit that, but after seeing pictures of Emma McKay.
Nah, bro.
Emma McKay looks more like Margot Robbie than Samara Weaving.
They got to have a picture with all three of them standing together. That's the only way, bro, because she looks more like Margot Robbie to me than her.
I'm about to think the same thing.
Bruh. And then you got Emma Stone. She still fits
in. Bro. I love Emma Stone, bro.
Right there, right in the middle. That's in the top.
That's Emma Stone, bro. That's Scarlet Letta.
Hell yeah, boy. That's Emma Stone right there in the top in the middle,
Jamie boy. King.
Yeah, Jimmy Priestley down at the bottom. Bro.
Yeah, bro. Jamie King. All the white women look just alike.
Oh, Hollywood is bugging.
No, they do that shit.
Hollywood is bugging.
They do that.
Yes.
This picture really sums it up.
Yes, they do.
Look at these noses, bro. They do that shit. They also do that shit.
Get the same surgery.
They do. I'm telling you, they do this shit with black anchors too, bro.
Yes.
Have you ever seen black anchors? They
make them look
the same, bro.
They
just started letting niggas get their hair.
They draw your eye to make you think, to give you a reference point.
Blue eyes, blue eyes, blue eyes.
Or green.
Red lips, red lips, blonde, blonde, blonde.
But the nose is the same with the blonde.
I bet if you was to pull up mathematical equations of
even her, even her, and she ain't even in the pictures.
I don't. Who was she in? I forgot.
A whole bunch of shit.
She was in the DC show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she fits in there too.
Yeah, bro.
Dog, this is an interesting, like...
Bro, they cast actors that look alike, and I guarantee you, if you go 30 years back,
there's more people who look like them.
You kind of make me want to go back and look at that, because I'm really interested.
Start from your girl Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, nah, don't nobody look like Audrey Hepburn, but you ain't finna do that to me.
Shit,
who the fuck look like Audrey
Google
Hepburn?
It. Google it.
Type it in. It's somebody you haven't seen.
I'm telling you.
I bet they in some foreign movies in Europe somewhere that you have not seen.
Shit, bro. Arja was my girl, bro.
They out there, bro. They are out there. this similar fucking facial shit. The junk ain't no joke, dog.
15 minutes into the very first episode.
After that, I watched it
before I got here. Mm. And I was like, I'm gonna like this.
So after that, watch Gangsta.
Trying to get you. All right. See, the reason why you don't like that giant robot shit, otherwise what I told you to watch on Netflix would be a definitely go-to, but
Tech Wars.
It's technology fused with humans, but I like that shit. Robots and humans fusing to take over the world.
Cyberpunk is something else.
Yeah, Cyberpunk is something that I want to watch. Remind me about the video game Cyberpunk. Didn't a black guy make Cyberpunk video game that had some issues? Like last year? When the Cyberpunk 2077 game that came out
December 2020 with plenty bugs because they rushed it to coincide with the PS5's release when it wasn't ready to come out.
So CD Projekt Red.
So did they go back and go through all of the stuff and re-release it? Because am I mistaken? Was it a black guy over that project?
I don't know that. I know they patched it. It was Storm King Reed. A black
guy created the tabletop story version of that and then they made a game based on that.
Okay, kudos.
Yes, but they didn't go back and like add that into the game like you can be this motherfucker. No, they added like reference. All the stuff that happened in the anime happened before the game.
If so my memory serves me correctly, did you buy the game before, like did you pre-buy the game?
And then I didn't pre-order it. Oh. I got it though. I have it.
Got you.
And they did come out with an update, like I said, that
fixed the bugs.
They still ain't all fixed. It's still real bad. But I'm gonna say real bad. It's kind of jank. Yeah. But they put in the stuff that happened in the anime. Those areas, you can go back to them, and then you'll see the remnants of what happened in the anime. Like, oh shit, that's where fucking such and such got fucked up. Oh, that's where this happened and this happened. And certain people are still alive, so you can run into them.
Gotcha.
Well, I want to give y'all some insight on things I did this week real briefly since I have you here. This week, I decided to go venture to the movies and see The Invitation. I want to give you guys a quick 3-minute review of The Invitation. The Invitation is a horror movie, which I did not know. It's a vampire flick starring...
Not the same as the other movie. What's it? The Menu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's starring...
Not that one.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
It's starring Natalie Emanuel. If you do remember Natalie Emanuel... let me pull her up. Natalie Emanuel, she was Khaleesi's right-hand girl on Game of Thrones.
Who ended up getting with that worm dude who didn't have a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first thing I got to tell you about The Invitation is this.
She's British?
She's British.
I know what movie you're talking about now. Okay.
Like, she's British, and, you know, God forbid I meet her.
Did they have a Netflix version of this?
Oh, my God.
It was like
her
boyfriend brought her... Yeah.
I simp, bro.
Her acting prowess.
I ain't got no...
You be a munch. You be a munch.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, man. There's very few actresses I would simp for.
Simp for her.
I don't know, man.
What is your definition of simp?
Not that simp. Not in the simp. I'm going to throw Macchio under the bus to get in her box. Not that simp. But in the...
It's like, I'm going to play the secondary role to her doing what she's doing.
But in the role... In the role of I'm not willing to be myself or be who she wants me to be in order to just be around her, I'd do that for a night. Why the fuck not? Like...
You'd be the chameleon.
For a night. But ultimately, I feel like...
Ultimately,
I feel like being myself would net me even greater results. But, hypothetically, if I was a rich...
Amelia Clark, that's my shot right there. I'm
a rich trick.
She's just secondary.
With dollars at my disposal to just lavish her with the most amazing time with no regard to my personal, like development.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely just throw them bands at her. And give her the greatest date she'd have never had, bro.
Ended up being like Buddy, who ended up throwing all them bands at the Light Elf.
Bro, I can't.
New Asgard.
Bro, I can't.
Thought she
and
was
I wouldn't even want.
Negative
I wouldn't
Stallion.
Take her to court. I wouldn't take her to court. Now, if it was life, I'm going to kill that bitch. But Man, Thor finna fuck this bitch up. Like, for real. But Natalie Emanuel, the one thing I like about this movie, it's a vampire flick. And vampire, my favorite thing about vampire flicks, my thing about vampires is the lore, right? My favorite thing about vampire lore is, damn, bro, they say if that vampire suck your blood, that shit supposed to feel like a nut. Low key, ever since that idea has been introduced to me, I kind of want a sexy vampire chick to suck my blood to see if that shit really is euphoric as they claim it is. Because, god damn it, I want to try it. Love of the Call of the Night is one of my favorite anime of this season. And in it, Cole, our main characters with Nozuna, not together, but Nozuna's a vampire and Nozuna drinks his blood. But if he wants to turn into a vampire, all he has to do is fall in love with her, and he will turn into a vampire. But he's a young adolescent and don't even know what love is. So
that's a very simplified version of how that curse works, but okay.
Yeah, so I like the idea of vampire lore. What makes this story so fucking crazy, she starts as a girl, is like, I think her name was Emma. Or, oh, no, it was Evelyn. Evelyn Jackson, black girl. She has no family left. All she has is a best friend. And she takes a DNA test that she gets at work one day. Takes the DNA test, mails it in, finds out that she has family in England. And one of her cousins comes and is like, hey, cuz, I really want you to meet the rest of the family. Like, we've been eager to meet you. It's like, how did I get here? Basically, your great-granddaddy fucked one of our slaves and, you know, one of our servants and hid the baby. And that's how your grandfather was born, and your grandfather had your mother. Your mother died. That's how you're here. And she's like, damn. She's like, yeah, so on her mother's side, it's British people from this noble bloodline with all this money. She ends up going to a wedding. She ends up getting invited to a wedding. That's where the invitation is. She goes to this wedding, and she meets the lord of the manor, who's this handsome Sebastian Stan lookalike nigga. I gotta pull up buddy picture.
I remember the trailer.
He looks like Sebastian Stan. And basically, the thing is, it's like, she's a vampire. Like, no, he's a vampire. People, they're a vampire. She don't know they're fucking vampires. But she finds out the hard way when they have the fucking dinner, when motherfuckers just start drinking blood. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, just slit somebody's throat, drink the blood. And she's like, oh, shit, I got to get out. Nah, bitch, you in too deep.
Too late now.
You in too deep.
Deep, shawty.
She in too deep.
A little too late now.
Oh, man. It's so much. So much happens. But one of my favorite things about movies, she got style. Like, when she, the Lord of the Manor buys her dresses to wear to the parties, she looks immaculate in every dress she wears. She looks good. It's just eye candy. Like, the whole movie, she is styled to the fucking nines. And you just get to see her parade and get her acting chops off with, like, beautiful outfits.
Vera Wang dresses.
And everything. Like, that's the aesthetic of it. And then, without spoiling it, you get to the end, and all hope is fucking lost. And I got one of the greatest endings I have seen in a vampire movie that I did. Now, I did not see that shit coming, and I respect that shit.
Because she been a vampire.
I'm not going to tell you. You got to see it. I mean, he might, but I'm not going to spoil it, because you got to see it for yourself. But they're dragging this movie online, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. The Invitation, I give this shit a 8 out of 10.
I mean, because A24 just came out with another movie called Pearl, and I got to watch that shit tonight. There's your movie right there, your shit. Blonde, that shit just came out.
Blonde come out next week. The Marilyn Monroe fucking series. Oh,
there's people reviewing it already. They must have got the screener for it. Okay. Yeah.
That shit come out on the 22nd, I think. It comes out next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Tuesday?
We need to be pre-screeners for stuff.
We got to get our, you know, once we get our presence up, we'll be able to.
But y'all check that out. If you get a chance, when it comes on demand, or you can get you a screen, or you can just rent it, buy it, whatever the fuck, whatever you got to do to see it. I think October's around the corner, and I feel like that's one movie that you absolutely, it wouldn't hurt to see. Because I love her in Game of Thrones, and it kind of sucks, because Game of Thrones let me see all of her shawty. So now I'm looking at that dress, imagining it ain't too hard to imagine, because I seen Game of Thrones, and I felt bad for Grey Worm, because Grey Worm ain't had no worm, dog. And
she couldn't do shit with that.
Shawty is gorgeous. But shout out to her.
He was definitely a munch.
I definitely got a type. Yeah, he was definitely a munch. Damn.
You know that. That's all he could do. That's all that motherfucker had left.
That's all he had.
That scene, it was supposed to be performance art. It was like this white guy
that was dressed up like a penis and vagina that was fucking himself.
I seen that. Yep, that's.
He had like a metal thing. He was hitting the bar with it.
Oh, no. You talking about that shit? No, that was that other weird shit. They all had like the little things that were to help him walk with. And he had his little, little metal pole on his dick and he was hitting.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, speaking
that.
Of.
That was that weird
speaking
stuff.
Speaking of Cobra Kai.
No, speaking of weird and sex, Game of Thrones.
Oh. Bruh. Like, they reminded you this week that they are still Targaryens, bro.
Motherfucker, cousin fucker.
I gotta talk to y'all. All right, so.
Targaryen.
Y'all gave so much hoopla, hollering, and bullshit about the Kingslayer and his sister doing this. And I get it, bro, because I be watching these anime and shit. I be watching this borderline incest shit or complete incest shit is just thrown off of me, bro. But y'all a little too horny for, like, Shaw and her uncle to be really giving it up in a motherfucking brothel.
They just
want to
see it,
bro.
Y'all
are too horny. Y'all were too horny for these two Targaryens to
they
fuck.
Wanna see.
Like, people were like, yes, bitch, get that uncle dick. Like
what the fuck are you talking about?
Myself included. I wanted. I was ready. I was like, shouted like, that's you.
I refer back to my description of the first Game of Thrones when I became like, a Game of Thrones fucker.
What the Matt fuck Smith is wrong with y'all, bro?
Brother fucker. Sister fucker. Cousin fucker.
They were
little
Lannisters, though. They were Lannisters.
She revered.
We talking about Targaryens,
bro. Westeros going Westeros, dog. Don't you forget, Westeros going Westeros. Dog,
the descendants of Alabamians.
More than mortals.
Her daddy gave her the plan, not the plan BT at the end, shouted.
Yes.
Right.
The plan
No, that wasn't even her daddy. That was the nigga, the Meister dude. He was like, hey,
her
we got this.
Her dad commissioned
a plan BT. It was like, shouted like,
hey, don't worry about it. We got this
get rid of all
in case.
Spirits. Your uncle, in case my brother knocked you up.
Right,
he
did fuck you
bro,
up.
Bro, he wasn't even mad that the uncle was just like, he was like, I'd rather it be me than some, you know, bullshit.
Because that's what them Targaryens do, bro. They fuck
that's
family.
What royals do. They keep that
no, it ain't the royals. It's the Targaryens because in Westeros, they consider Targaryens to be more than mortals because they quote unquote control dragons. Everybody on the outside sees them as controlling these dragons, which is not a human thing. So they're like, oh, but they got to keep their bloodline pure. They fuck each other. That's what they do. They got to. They don't see a problem with that shit.
And then she went right to goddamn Soulja Boy. Snoo-snooed him.
She was fucking everybody that night, bro. She was getting hers in
because she
was out of the castle.
One thing I liked about this episode was, all right.
Otto was setting himself up. He was like, look, I'm going to give you my daughter so she can be in your ear. And then I'm going to tell you from the other side. Eventually, we're going to have the king right in the palm of our hands. Like, these motherfuckers are ruthless.
One thing I liked about Rhaenyra is they explored that she's been confined to this castle. She's tried to push off the responsibilities and things that come with the princess and kind of wanting to be her own person. Her dad went as far as to reject tradition and what is best for the kingdom in his own personal life because he didn't want to marry a fucking 12-year-old. And I can't blame that nigga. So
nobody
he married
can.
His daughter's best friend, which let me know, y'all. Ain't shit. So he marries his daughter's best friend, and you see Rhaenyra have to address her friend being able to put a Queen Trump card on to get you to fall in line is kind of fucked up. Like, we friends, we go back, we grew up together, but if I disagree with you, something you can be like, as your queen, I command you to do it. You got to do it. She pulled rank. So I really like that, although it was creepy. That her uncle, like, brought her out to see the city. Because at first it was innocent. It was fun. She's having this fun. They're having a good time. She's seeing this side of the city that she's never seen. He's like, yeah, I'm on a night's watch. Like, we come out here with the gold clothes.
You're going to be pregnant.
We know what's going on. But what we got was, like, since she's a royal, she has to hold on to her chastity, her innocence. She can't have sex.
Selling card right there.
Selling card, especially as not just as a woman, but as a princess. You have to have your chastity
bro,
and fat.
They got random sheets out and see blood on them.
So because of that, she can't look at sex as something as pleasure. It's always this political tool. So her getting her own autonomy to get out here
saw
and
saw that when fucking, what's his name, was in there trying to get it in, and she was just like,
So her uncle, so one thing I like is her uncle, and it sounds sick me saying it, but her uncle takes her out there. He only doing it for control. If he can do it because she's, he didn't anticipate Shada would grab his chin and fucking throw her tongue in his mouth and grab his dick. He like, whoa, whoa. I was supposed to slut you out just to kind of fuck with your dad. I was prepared to fuck you to fuck with my brother, but whoa, whoa. You're into this shit? The fuck is wrong with
she
you?
Actually likes him. Like, you've been running around up in her face talking about, yeah, you be the greatest just Targaryen and all this shit. Like, what do you think she was going to think, bruh?
When he had that repugnant look on his face, when he's like, I'm going to run, Shada.
What make you think she wouldn't be in love with you? Of course she wants to fuck you, dog.
Like she...
Every time you show up on the scene, she's all starry. I'm like, oh, I want to...
That's your uncle, because you rebel. You do what you want. You young, you handsome.
And he can do whatever he wants, and that's what you want to do. And it's like, we can be free together, ride dragons, and fuck on the back of the dragon all day.
Royals, keeping it in the family is not a far... It's not a stretch.
They're Targaryens. It's not just royal. It's because they're Targaryens. But
that's a real royal thing.
No, I'm saying that's a real Targaryen thing, because even in the first season of life, Game of Thrones, no,
I get that, but
yeah, but I'm just saying they trying to reiterate the fact that it wasn't no new thing.
Yeah,
that's something they've been doing.
As far back in realistic times as people remember, if you're ordained by God to rule a kingdom, you gonna keep it in
the family. But these motherfuckers here,
they doing what royals do. So
all the way,
she keeping it in the family. You know what I'm saying? Like
Rudy Giuliani.
Bruh, she keeping it in the family with her uncle. Her uncle is like, whoa, whoa, back.
Married to his first cousin.
I'm not doing this shit. She done seen, she got a live porno.
She wanted you to see that you could have a good time out here. I'm not trying to.
Your pleasure.
Nah, he was, he was like, shout it. I was going.
Your pleasure.
If you were trying to show you the world.
If I thought I was in charge of this shit, I'd have fucked you. And told your dad I fucked you just to use
this ain't my shit.
But the fact that you into this shit,
I can't get with that.
I can't get with it because you have all the power. When women assert themselves sexually as the dominant force in any sexual situation, they have, because they've always had the power sexually, because it's way easier for them to get dick than it is for us to get pussy. So the fact that she done got out here with her uncle of all people and was like, yo, let's do it. I done seen sex. I never had it. This shit look exciting. It looks like...
People tell me about it. Like, I've heard about it. I done seen it.
He runs, bruh, she primed up. She fucking Niagara Falls on. So when she get back to the fucking kingdom,
she's like, oh yeah, you bring your ass on.
In my bed.
Right. Bring your ass on.
Give me the dick. Because
I liked you to begin with, but I couldn't get you in the first place. So bring your ass on. Because look, but I got to give respect.
By her uncle.
I got to give respect to little buddy, though.
Didn't get it in, though.
No, even beyond that, little buddy at the beginning of the episode was like, yo, my queen, I'm just trying to let you know
I'll
ride for my shit. And that little nigga,
he started I was like talking shit. He was like, let's go.
Right, little buddy was like, with the shits, boy. Little buddy was with the shits. He was like, I don't give a damn, dog.
I didn't know what you were talking about at first. I got you, yeah.
Yeah, he was with the shits, dog.
Not only was he with the shit,
he fucked him up, dog. Yeah.
That guy had to go send him to the infirmary. Damn, he lived.
He was spitting out blood. He done,
bro. No, but what house was he from? The House of Baratheon?
No, he wasn't Baratheon. It was like
It's Baratheon.
Waterwood or some shit like that. Damn right. When they was out there getting fucked up.
That's how they were. That Kermit
mean. I swear he was Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why...
I don't think it was Baratheon. I think it was like Blackwood or something like
that. Shout out to my cousin. My cousin, Gabby. She made some points in her review. I want to read a few of these points off.
All right, Gabby, what you got?
First review is, we need to stop trying to marry these big-ass age gaps.
Thank you.
Hey, man, you can pull her, you pull her. Okay, haircut is giving me doctor vibes.
I'm it kind of was. It kind of was.
My boy got the haircut. All right. How romantic is it to be imprisoned in a castle made to squeeze out heirs? Bruh, when Rhaenyra said that shit to her friend, like, Shada, your whole purpose is to fuck my dad and make babies. That's romantic to you?
And then she just laid back, just like...
But then she apologized to me. She said, damn, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. It's like, yeah, did you though?
My cousin said, every week I need to learn Valyrian. Right. You do, because I like the fact that they speak in Valyrian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they let the food sit out? Like, yeah. Like, they ain't got no refrigerator.
Thank you. The most they can do is salt it.
She said, Coralie's going to stay petty. That's a Game of Thrones deep cut for y'all.
Coralie's will stay petty forever and ever.
So you don't know there's a secret door in your room?
No, she didn't.
Rhaenyra had no clue that was
a Hell no, because the king that built that shit was like her great-grandfather before her, and he built that shit long time ago and had everybody killed so that he was the only person who knew about him. Yeah.
Yeah, you motherfuckers don't play shoes.
Yeah, bro, I just could not have told nobody you gotta kill me.
That motherfucker Aladdin. Killed all, right, Aladdin. He killed all the fucking construction workers,
you
bro.
You HIV Aladdin.
Right.
No?
Over with.
She said Rhaenyra got a lot going on today. Coupling. Bruh. Coupling. They were coupling. Like.
All right, you call it what you want to.
Damn, Alicent. But Alicent, bruh. Like, Shawty, the way she looked when this nigga was trying his hardest thrust.
She's just sitting there like, oh.
She's sitting like, you're waiting for it to be over with.
Like, ugh. Bruh, please.
Yes, my lord. I came. I didn't even stick it in. Sorry, my lord.
Dog, Shawty said, bruh. Like, Rhaenyra told Alicent on the memory of my mother.
Right. I did not go to that brothel.
My uncle.
Like, yeah, you did. You fucking liar.
Not only did I fuck my uncle, I fucked goddamn Soulja Boy too.
She fucked Soulja Boy. She didn't fuck his uncle. I think he started getting it in.
I definitely think she fucked her uncle.
But no. I mean, you know, and if you watch the end,
it was penetration, but not to completion.
Like, you know, it's just
Fucked. Yeah, he still fucked.
Because in that time, like we said, bro, they used to. Put the queen in the bed. You penetrated her. You brought the sheets out to show everybody she was a virgin.
Yeah,
like.
I don't think he pushed it. I think he kind of tried to get the head in. You know what I'm saying? Like
he hit that.
Yeah.
He hit that and then he told her that pleasure.
Or his niece,
that's
bro.
That's why she had the fucking...
Yes,
know.
That's what I said. Like, then she told her because, fuck what she say, a woman's first time is not going to be anything but painful. Getting their hymen broke. And then after that, she was like, I want to have sex for pleasure. Here, take your arm guards off. I'm going to hop on top of you.
She wanted it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I want it.
I mean, she wanted it from the rip, but...
It's me, you can't...
Bro, that was a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Otto fucked himself up trying to position himself, bro. You gonna get your shit chopped off.
I like the time gaps that they're doing, too.
I don't like time gaps, but they do this shit so good.
And they don't even tell you. Like, you just have to figure it out.
Right, you're like, oh, okay, we had another time skip.
I thought he was going to die from gangrene.
Nope. How the fuck is he still not dead? But I guess he's going to die in this time jump.
Yeah,
that motherfucker got to be dead by then.
Thought 3 years passed.
He got cut every episode.
And this dude still ain't making
his son. He got cut with a rusty blade.
His son is there.
Right.
Squeezing. He got a daughter now. He had a son and another daughter. It was just like,
bruh, your finger in some goddamn maggots. I mean, bruh.
I mean, that's how they
I was smart, though.
Exactly how they cure shit.
Yeah, man. This season, honestly, House of the Dragon with Game of Thrones is entertaining because we're not boggled down by the politics that have built up where we're really ready to, like, see somebody come on top. Right now, we know...
We're waiting to see the...
We know
the end game.
We know that there's a Mad King and that eventually this shit goes bad, but we know...
Yeah, we're waiting to see how the building blocks get laid.
Yeah, we know that this is, like, a few generations before the Mad King.
Jon Snow shit is supposed to be coming out New Year's, ain't it?
Bro, they talking about they gonna
make a special. I don't know if it's just like a one-off or what.
Better be a one and done. I don't want a Jon Snow prequel.
I feel like they're coming out with a Game of Thrones universe, bro.
It ain't no Jon Snow book.
No, that's the thing.
What the fuck I want a Jon Snow series for?
Excuse me.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
That's true, though. There is no Jon Snow solo book.
Where did that bring you? To me.
They're not gonna fast forward the movie again, and then I'm gonna start from that point.
Yeah, they ain't gonna try to just like embellish upon the R.R. Martin universe like that.
I got you. I mean, it's HBO can do no wrong when it comes to Game of Thrones. It sucks that they spent $30,000 on a separate pilot that ain't coming out.
Wasn't when HBO Max came out. Was this not supposed to be one of the first series they rolled out and then they had it and they're like, need to go back and redo this?
They shot a pilot for a different Game of Thrones spinoff and it didn't.
That wasn't going to be House of Targaryen.
It wasn't going to be House of Targaryen.
Spent $30 million on it.
It was a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like a spinoff. Because
they were trying to get ahead of the Lord of the Rings shit. and it didn't test good.
Yeah. Yeah, so they ended up, like, sticking with this.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think they did reshoot some shit, but they spent $30 million on something, so they had the money to burn.
Yeah, so like I said, my thinking was, bro, they probably got some shit mapped out, like some Marvel shit, because Marvel kind of...
No.
Marvel, like, when you're dealing with, like, movies and stuff like that, I haven't seen anything that was kind of encompassing a universe as comprehensive until Marvel came out, and then they were like, yeah, we got phases. And then after that, I started to see other people be like, oh, well, we got a universe too. Even though they already had it, it made it more like, yeah, this is what we're doing. Like, I think about Power. Like, Power is a universe. Like, the Power shows. And the
I mean, but you
shows.
Can write that as it comes out. The thing about the MCU is they have all these source years material. Of content that they can draw from to make the MCU.
That is true.
The thing about...
Game of Thrones
and like so, Lord of the Rings, there is only so much content they can draw from that the audience knows, and they're like, okay, well, if you go make this, we know where you're going with it.
But they got this. Lord of the Rings is the guy from South Park, Tolkien.
Damn.
And Game of Thrones is R.R. Martin Luther King.
George R.R. Martin.
George Washington, Martin Luther King?
No.
R.R. Martin.
Yes.
Luther King.
No.
None?
None of Luther Kings. He's Martin. Not Lutheran at all.
Martin Luther.
He's shit, no. He's definitely not Lutheran. Did you not look at what just happened on this show? He's not Lutheran at all. But yeah, go ahead.
But... I would
the old gods and new.
I would expect that these people, like even like we talk about warriors being something that it was previously written, but it was just kind of tucked away, kind of thing.
Right, but you had the content to be able to create this certain story.
Yeah,
you can't create this whole extended universe. It's like Harry Potter. Yeah, you would think that you could make. You know, an extended Harry Potter universe beyond the 8 books that became these movies. But it took this play for the next installment of the Harry Potter universe to come out.
Gotcha.
Like, there's an understood amount of the universe that you can play in. It's like, okay, well, we're going to tell this side of it. We're going to tell this side of it. Yeah. Okay, we talked about this in the books, remember? But you didn't get that much, so now we're going to embellish on it.
Now, do you
That's what they're doing with Andor as far as Star Wars.
Do you think that these people still was like, okay, we've released this, but we still have... ideas, or we still have like small sketches or small something.
No, because
this is
the
totally
story,
brand new.
Because the story of Ice and Fire was the story that was written, and it wasn't finished at the time the last season of Game of Thrones came out. So that is exactly the story that George R.R. Martin is writing,
wanting to put into this thing.
Yes,
makes sense. Like I said, I feel like if you ever written something to completion, you wrote a story, put it out, it was received well, saw criticism of it, and you're like, okay, I could have, or you'd be like, you know what, I thought about doing this particular thing, but I went a different direction.
But that's in the first book in the volume, you know what I'm saying? You've got however many more volumes you want to put out to... spin those storylines out. You know what I'm saying? Like, see, now we know, okay, you're interested in that. You're interested in this. Now I can spin this out. Now I can spin that out.
Exactly.
But that's in the first story. If you've got a written work that's already been...
Put out,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, we have the written content. Now we know what it is. Like, oh, but we only got
this. If you ever made something, it's like...
Because you got to remember, a lot of the stories from Game of Thrones, they were told from the Maester's perspective. It's not from people...
I didn't know that.
Or subjects within the kingdom. It wasn't exactly...
So in the book, it's the Maester.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's a Maester's account. Sometimes it's a second or third person account from what they saw on the outside.
Okay. That is a different perspective.
That's the one and only motherfucking Tanuki, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, man, I'm here, dog. I gotta get that recon.
No, cool.
But I'm fucking with Game of Thrones. I'm ready to see this shit go. I started Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is just Cobra Kai, bro. Like,
I didn't have a chance this week. It was so much going on.
It. Just I keep couldn't. Watching it. It's so much more shit that I watch. Like
the commercials, they keep killing me every week, looking like a damn Planet Fitness commercial.
Bro, motherfucking Made in Abyss took up at least a good 3 days out my week because I was binging the Made in Abyss in between playing the game and like watching other shit.
Gotta get that white whistle, bro.
Bro, and that Made in Abyss season 2, bro, that's one of the grossest, darkest, grotesque anime. It's on some Elfin League shit. All right, y'all, we got some news. Let's get through this shit. Fact sheet: White House releases first ever comprehensive framework of responsible development of digital assets. Ocean, take it away.
Hey, all right. So,
somebody need to line this shit up.
On the heels of the brand new ETH merge.
Ethereum hurt my feelings with that.
The White House has released initiatives based around a few things about the president's executive order that he released, what was it, January, February, on cryptocurrency. Excuse me. And there's a gang of shit in here. What you have basically is they're going to go for consumer protection, which is, you know, I've already told y'all what they're going to go through things under the line of. But long story short, we're not going to dwell on this very long. What they want to introduce is called CBDC, Centralized Banking Digital Currencies. And these will be regulated by the federal government. These will be dollars. You remember when the pandemic came out, it was a couple of people that was like, they're getting rid of coins and cash because they want to go to a cashless society type of ordeal. They were not exactly nuts. Over the past 2 years, the National Banking Agency and the world government agencies have had economic forums in different places and released
different leaves in there. I want to check just to be sure.
They have released videos saying that, hey, our government wants to move towards centralized banking digital currency for a myriad of reasons.
Myriad.
Thank you. Muriel.
Myriad.
Muriel?
Actually, I was myriad. Like, bro,
mirror.
I'm in college, bro.
No.
Mirror.
No, that's not a college word.
Oh, got you. Mirror grid.
There you go.
There is a mirror grid of things going on. If you want to go back, to me, what I personally think is that this starts with the Terra Luna crash.
Happened early summer.
And I believe, and this is why I believe that this happened. I believe that a lot of actual politicians got involved with the stablecoin from Terra Luna. And they lost a substantial amount of money chasing bullshit.
Or not even chasing it, just using it as their exchange for, you know, whatever they had been doing.
I think that there should be some type of line drawn between senators and House of Representatives members being able to trade stocks in crypto.
I mean, if they're going to set the rules for it, they got to know how it works.
True, because Nancy Pelosi's rich as fuck, and I ain't never seen her make a bright decision.
Thank you. Thank you. Because it's unregulated, bro. She can just throw money into it.
She literally
have somebody represent her
Nancy
and do all
Pelosi
the shit.
Nancy Pelosi literally just made $250,000 on stock options of something that she bought a few days before some news hit about the stock. Irregardless, we're here to talk about. Well, I'm here to talk about what I love, cryptocurrency. So Ethereum moved. They had their merge. They left from what was called proof of work mining to proof of stake mining. I've talked about this before. And since that time, I've got certified in blockchain administration through Middle Georgia State University. Hash rates increase, Merkle trees, all this good shit. But bottom line is that Ethereum, the second largest cryptocurrency, is moving to a consensus protocol called proof of stake. What that means is basically big bank wins. The person who
take little bank.
Yes, the person who has the largest amount of money, aka the federal fucking government, they will be able to make consensus for this particular node on this network. And this node has switched from proof of work to proof of stake. There are still some proof of work Ethereum out there, but for the most part, people hold Ethereum proof of stake on the big exchanges in America, Coinbase, KuCoin, Binance, etc. And it's already staked. What I did was go ahead and stake my Ethereum that I had, because there was a promise that when Ethereum 2.0 came out, I would get the same amount that I had staked in Ethereum and Ethereum 2.0. So far, that is turned out to be true. I have the same amount of Ethereum that I had in proof of work that I have in proof of stake. It is just now still locked until probably another year and a half. So I can't do anything with them for another year and a half, except for stuff that I have outside that wasn't being locked, because there are hoping that their rate doesn't drop, which, I mean, I feel like we're probably nearing the bottom of this particular bear run that we're going to go into, and probably the next 3 to 4 months, you're probably going to start seeing increasing high runs, because
for a quarter,
the United States government, the White House included, have put out what they want to enact about cryptocurrency. And they're putting out provisions on what they do, and they work with some of the leading industry people in cryptocurrency. They all came together and they've made some provisions that personally, I want to say once again, if you're into privacy, you don't want your shit invaded, you want private money, Bitcoin is where you want to be. These other cryptocurrencies are companies, and they're moving to proof of stake. And I promise you that the government is going to have a hand in them, because they already do through the banking agencies. The banking agencies are already offering crypto exposure to their clients. It's FDIC insured. So that's how you know it is already being regulated by the government. What they do not want to have is people being able to invest their hard-earned money and get rug pulled. Now, I have been...
They don't give a fuck long as they get theirs.
Yeah, you have to realize all these people have paid the government.
Mm-hmm.
So your big assets that you want to go over, again, Bitcoin is the top dog. Keep that. That's going to be your privacy coin. Ethereum, that's going to be your most regulated government coin. But then you have XRP, which is going to be a banking system that goes in between. And it's going to be it's cross-border payments. And then you have the other network that is called Stellar Lumens. Stellar Lumens are the people behind Chipotle being able to take cryptocurrency and like 70 other American retailers. Mm. So Stellar is probably a company that XLM is probably something that you want to start looking into and acquiring, because what's going to happen is there's over 500 cryptocurrencies. We do not need them. We do not need them. I have always said, hey, can Bitcoin do this? It can. Well, then don't fucking get it. But then I understand.
That was my whole argument from the jump. It's like, you got so many out there. Like, how you going to pick which one? Yeah. And then you put your money in this one. And then, this one's the one that dies. Yeah. So now you got to jump to this one.
Exactly.
Jump to this one. And you lose percentages of your money. Like,
but
your investment slowly goes down. If you invested $100 at the beginning, but based on all the fees and percentages cutoffs that you had to do throughout, it comes down to like $75 is the representation of your initial $100 that you put in. Like,
that
bruh.
Is true in I would say, overwhelmingly most cases.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that if you're playing a game of long game perspective, if you invest in the things that I told you to invest in long term, and even short term,
because we are
not financial advisors. None of that shit. I just threw a bag of Percocets at this nigga. Don't take advice from me. The things that I look at are going to be more so regulated as securities in the future. Gary Gensler, the president of the SEC, as soon as Ethereum merged over to proof of stake, he said, hey, this is going to be regarded as a security.
Right.
So these things are going to be more regulated, and what they're going to do, the first part they talk about is protecting consumers, protecting businesses, national security, and environment.
Right.
Now, again, we've also talked about mining and the environmental impact and what they're trying to do and how they're trying to stabilize these things. I've offered my opinion, and they've come up with their opinion about how these particular things can and will work. What you're going to see is that people are going to be incentivized to go towards the cleaner, more renewable energy. And what you see is that these people are mining Bitcoin more with methane gas from landfills. So they're literally taking the burn off at landfills. They just burn off into the atmosphere, and they're taking it and converting it to mining stuff. And you also have what's called a new wave of what's called greenhouse farmers. They're taking the heat from their mining rigs, and they're using it in their greenhouse.
So the government is essentially building a blockchain to which can accompany the current one that it's a,
trying to.
Something that can be something that can intermingle with the SEC, that allowing some form of regulation, but still allowing crypto enough room to breathe in order to do what it does. Because it does best when it's not touched, when it's not enough hands in the pot to spoil the broth.
Yeah. Right. And what you're talking about is centralization versus decentralization.
No. I mean, no. Yeah. What I was speaking of, like...
They want a centralized blockchain to where when you're dealing with digital cash, every transaction will be able to be monitored in real time autonomously.
Government, like, y'all giving us CCTV fucking money?
Essentially. They're able to monitor what you do with your money in real time. Now, that has pros and that has cons. The cons is, if I want to fucking find a drug dealer, how am I going to pay him? He has to be legal. The rest of the government's going
to
fucking
know. I mean, that's the price Bitcoin pays for, like, having to be legit and operate autonomously.
Well, Bitcoin itself is something, and again, I always feel like Bitcoin is something that was made by the fucking NSA. Because of the basic principles behind it. It's too much freedom involved with this shit.
You're telling me
somebody out of the goodness of their heart said, the government's been fucking over people. We need something private.
Yeah.
Like that never made sense to me, and I'm not, you know, foolish enough to believe that that can't be outside of the government's purview to make, because they do illicit things. Army. They go overseas, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the soldiers get into shit. When the soldiers get into shit, they have to pay. Like, if they go over to fucking Abu Dhabi and do some stupid shit, they have to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
They get on these vessels, these Navy people, bro, they get on these vessels with, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. That shit weighs a lot.
It does.
What if I could slip you an anonymous fucking USB drive, you can plug that shit in and it'll be any denomination that you want to, and we never have to talk about us giving you cash for our soldiers doing some dumb
but
shit.
But if you get out of line, we can point to this point saying, oh, Ashley, we paid you.
Right here at this time,
nigga, like, stop lying, nigga, we paid you. Like, we gonna let the media spin and do what the fuck it do, but we paid you.
What I had to do in my class was talk about how a blockchain smart contract could work with everyday society. And the provision that I came up with was smart contracts could be used for licensing. If I would go to the DMV, right? You have to renew your license. If you have the star on your license, you can do it online, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a star on your license?
I don't know.
That's how you see. Look, if you have a star, you can go and renew it online. If you don't have a star, you probably have to go up there. You probably do have a star because you probably have used this particular address for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I got a star.
Yeah, you got that star right there. Everybody doesn't have that star.
I ain't know that.
Yeah, if you have that star, you can go online and renew your...
I'm about to throw it in back in your bag. I'm going to be mad when I try to go to the ATM and be like, where the fuck my wallet?
And then you just go find your wallet. Like, damn, I am a magician.
sleight of hand that I ain't even know.
So instead of going through all those provisions, what if they already have a system where it's like, okay, you have that star on there because you've already proven to us who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already proven this provision. So instead of going through all this thing, what if at the end of this particular date, if nothing has changed from this, just sends you another one? That would be easy, right?
Yeah.
If you look at China, how they do taxes, they send the people a postcard. You get a postcard and say, hey, you made this much this year. This is how much you owe us. We've already taken it out. You don't have to do anything. If there's something wrong with this postcard, then you contact us. That is another version of a smart contract. Like, it's so many provisions where
you can do that. Just
do things autonomously. But when you have all that coming into there, you see that the government is leaning more towards CBDCs and smart contracts. So, what about the motherfuckers? And I just seen a Champion commercial today during the, it was a game on ABC. Champion commercial came on.
Probably the Georgia game.
No, Georgia was on ESPN. I tried to turn to ABC. It was another game.
Oh, yeah, they got another game on ABC.
They were in the metaverse.
Okay.
Started off with, it was like, it was real shit, and it was like, what if you want to make you? And they went to the metaverse, and they had the motherfucker all in Champion gear, picking up his stuff, doing that shit. So,
I mean, it's...
All that shit here, bro.
Shut up. All right, guys. I got this for you, man. Emmys, man. The Emmys happened. Bruh, like, Emmys took place, and there was some shit. There were shows I was anticipated winning awards. There were shows I was excited about. I want to get right to it. Macchio, at the 2022 74th Emmy Awards, Outstanding Sound and Editing for a Limited Anthology Series or Movie Special went to none other than Moon Knight.
You damn right it did.
Yeah.
It did.
At the same ceremony, the Outstanding Special Effects in a Season or a Movie for 2022 went to The Book of Boba Fett.
All right, then. Two in a row. I'll take that.
Outstanding Character Voice Over Performance 2022 went to Star-Lord, a.k.a. T'Challa in Marvel and Disney's What If.
Yay. Yes, sir. See, I like that.
All right. Outstanding short form animation program. One of these was Star Wars, like, bruh, like Star Wars, like Legends. Like, I wanted it so bad. Like the duel. But it Visions, Star Wars Visions. It didn't happen. But you know what won? Jabaro, Love, Death, Robots won. Outstanding short form animated.
You damn right it did, because that shit was all hand animated. That was no motion capture in there. That was all CGI, bro.
I thought that shit was mocap.
Hell no. They used, like I said earlier in the chat, the Disney reference, like, oh, this is what we filmed. And
yeah.
That shit was all hand-animated CGI, dog.
Impressive. Outstanding animated program. Arcane.
Okay.
Arcane is, bro, Arcane,
I gotta give
is
it up.
Phenomenal example of
I gotta give it up. Arcane was good.
Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation went to The Boys Diabolical.
Hey.
Boyd in 3D, most specifically. Yeah, man, those were the animated awards that went to the recipients of the Emmys this year. Let's give a round of applause, man.
Yes,
those are some of the most awards I cared about.
You didn't care about Abbott Elementary?
Hey, man, don't get it twisted, man.
Quatina
Burson, she created Abbott Elementary. She won an award for best original, like, pilot. Like, original episode screenplay, she won for Abbott Elementary. It lost the comedy award as well as the drama award, but the best actress award for best supporting actress award went to Cheryl Lee Ralph. Shout out to her.
A.K.A. Regina from the Steve Harvey Show. Then you had freaking
how you like
his name?
How you like
it?
And
while she had to accept her award and shit.
Yeah, you talking about Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy.
Fallon. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, they harped on him this week because he like
laid out or something?
Well, no. He overplayed the bit, and it kind of cut it. Ain't no kind of. It absolutely cut into her acceptance speech.
Yeah, like, he was supposed to be over drinking because he didn't win again.
Yeah, he lost to John Oliver, and he was supposed to be upset.
He couldn't.
I mean, last week shit. Tonight with John Oliver is one of my.
Yeah, so technically that was the whole gimmick. Oh. It was like, he overdrank because he lost again.
Oh, man, at least he didn't run up on stage and slap nobody.
You right. At least he didn't do that. These jokers were like, he's laying out there while she's giving her acceptance.
She should have just stepped on. She should have just like planted her foot on him like a flag and raised her fist and said her speech.
But as far as she went on his show the next night and redid the whole thing, which I thought was dope. Succession won Outstanding Drama.
That's a good show.
Lee Jung Jae, which is the lead actor in Squid Games, he won Best Lead Actor. Ted Lasso won Best Outstanding Comedy Series.
I ain't seen that.
Zendaya, she won Best Lead Actress in a role for Euphoria.
That's the second time, man.
Mm-hmm. Two times in a row, baby. She won it again. Julia Gardner won Best Supporting Actress in Ozark. Jean Smart won Best Lead Actress in a Comedy Series for Hacks. Jason Sudeikis won Best Lead Actor in Comedy Series for Ted Lasso. Michael Keaton won Best Actor in a Limit Anthology Series. Amanda Seyfried won that same shit for... What did she win it for? It wasn't Dope Sick. The Dropout. Yeah, The Dropout.
Fuck. You just said the name. Hacks. Who won for Hacks?
Won for Hacks.
What was the winner from Hacks?
Jean Smart, lead actress, comedy series. Jean Smart.
That's the lady from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
I've been telling y'all, bro, Hacks is funny as fuck. And a black woman wrote that shit.
There you go. Lizzo won for...
Limited series.
Best competition program for Watch Out for the Big Girls. This was on the heels of the controversy she had, which lets me know this whole thing was planned to boost her PR, image, and ego. But shout out to Lizzo because that Adrian Spears guy and Tiffany Haddish are now being investigated for fucking child sex abuse claims.
What?
Yeah, the guy who cracked that fat joke on Lizzo. But he's being investigated for like child sexual shit, bro. Him and Tiffany.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
For a skit that you can't see, Chippendale Rescue Rangers won Best Television Movie.
That is crazy.
White Lotus, Best Writing for an Anthology Series.
Shout out to the guy there, the Lincoln Lawyer guy. He wrote that.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of dope winners, man. Congratulations
to all the winners, man. So he won. He's been winning the past couple years, too, because he won the other shit last year with... who's in White Lotus? What's the girl?
Yeah. I want to see Succession. It's a few of these shows Apple TV got, and I'm like, bro, I got to check that shit out.
I tried to watch Ted Lasso, man, and that shit, man, I tried again. I'm like, this ain't better than Letterkenny. Letterkenny is actually funny. Like, this shit ain't.
One of the homies just got into Westworld. Just like, bro, y'all ain't nominated that, but that's one of his favorite shows.
I tried to watch Westworld, too. I couldn't watch that either.
I watched the first two seasons.
Westworld's the shit.
I watched the first seasons, you know what I'm saying, of the show, of it.
That's crazy. I tried to watch Ted Lasso a couple times. That shit just...
I want to watch Severance. Severance
looked good. Severance, it got a lot of people that I like.
It got all these nominations. I don't think Severance won not one award.
Didn't.
And it was nominated, it was some of the highest nominated shows of the whole season.
Apple be putting out some good-ass shit.
Yeah, they bought some good shit.
I don't talk about
that. They got Big Bang, bro. They did in the show.
Yeah, they be showing sports games, too. I watched some of the Birds games.
Apple ain't Disney, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I be thinking about.
Yeah. That is weird, because Severance is a show that I wanted to pick up. Succession on HBO Max, bro. That show was just... It's not another show like that shit. That shit is funny and dramatic. And they don't break the fourth wall, but they get right there. Like, the way they shoot it, like, they kind of know, like, it's a scripted drama, but it's funny as fuck. It's about some fuck-ups and, like, fucking over people and fucking over businesses and all type of shit. Succession is a good-ass show. They definitely should be up there. I can see how Apple wanted to come up with their equivalent, which is Severance, which is I've seen enough to know that that's going to be a good show. That's definitely going to be on my list of shit to see.